1958, a creek behind a house in rural Kentucky, 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon in June. A boy, 11 years old, sits cross-legged on a flat rock with a pocket knife open in his lap. He is stripping the bark off a green willow stick. His shirt is muddy. His shoes are wet. Nobody knows exactly where he is. His mother is in the kitchen 400 yards away, making sandwiches for supper. His father is in the garage, changing the oil in the Plymouth. Neither of them has seen the boy in 3 hours. Neither of them is worried. Neither of them will be worried until the dinner bell rings at 6. The boy is fine. He is more than fine. He is doing the most important work of his childhood, which is being unsupervised in the world with a knife and a stick and a problem, figuring out the problem on his own. That afternoon, with no adult anywhere near him, is doing more to build the man he will be than every organized activity of his entire schooled life. These are 15 skills that every American boy learned before he turned 12. In the better part of the 20th century, none of them required a class, none of them required a coach. Most 12-year-old American boys today cannot do a single one. And we are going to talk about why that matters, not for nostalgia, but for the kind of men we are producing now. Subscribe before we start. Number one is the skill that matters more than all the other 14 combined. Counting down from 15. Number 15, knots. A 1958 boy knew by age 10, 6 knots, cold, bowline, square knot, 2 half hitches, clove hitch, sheet bend, taut line. He had learned them from his father or his scoutmaster or his grandfather, sitting on a porch on a summer evening with 2 pieces of rope. He could tie them in the dark. He could tie them with one hand. He could tie them behind his back. A knot is the oldest tool humans have, older than the wheel, older than fire. And the boy who knew 6 knots could tie down a load on a truck, lash a raft together, secure a tarp in a storm, hang a swing, rescue a man from water. The modern boy can do none of these things. He can charge a phone. He can navigate an app. He cannot tie a knot that will hold his own weight. And the day comes, every man has had this day, when a knot is the difference between a small problem and a disaster. The 1958 boy was ready for that day at 10 years old. The modern boy is 40, calling AAA because he does not know how to lash a Christmas tree to the roof of his Subaru. Number 14, the edge. A 1958 boy had a pocket knife by the age of 8 or 9, and his father had taught him on a Saturday morning at the kitchen table how to put an edge on it. Arkansas stone, 3 drops of oil, 20 strokes on one side, 20 strokes on the other, then finish on the strop. He learned to test the edge by shaving the hair off the back of his own forearm. If it shaved, it was sharp. He understood that a dull knife is more dangerous than a sharp one, because a dull knife slips and a sharp one cuts where you aim it. Most American men today, in their 40s, have never sharpened a knife in their lives. They have a drawer full of kitchen knives that are too dull to slice a tomato properly. Their pocket knives, if they have one, are factory edged and going dull. The single most ancient maintenance skill a human male has ever practiced, putting an edge on a piece of metal, has been lost in 2 generations. There is something deeply wrong about that. A man who cannot sharpen has outsourced his own readiness for the world. Number 13, the fire. Tinder, kindling, small fuel, medium fuel, large fuel, laid in that order in a teepee or a log cabin shape, with the tinder loose enough to breathe and tight enough to catch. One match. If the first match didn't take, you didn't get a second one. You went back, rebuilt the fire, and tried again with one match. He'd learned it on camping trips in the backyard at his grandfather's farm. He'd practiced it until it was automatic. A boy who can build a fire understands the physical structure of energy. He understands why some things burn and some don't, what air does to a flame, why you start small and build big, why you don't pile too much on too soon. These are not just camping skills. They're metaphors for every productive thing a man will ever do in his life. Build a business, build a marriage, build a career. Same structure as the fire. Tinder, kindling, small fuel, big fuel, patience. The 1958 boy learned this at 9 with a pile of birch bark and one wooden match. The modern boy has no equivalent lesson, none. Number 12, direction. A 1958 boy could unfold a road atlas, find his town, find the destination, trace a route with his finger, and tell you the highway numbers in order. He knew north from south by the sun. He knew west from east by where the sun set. He could, dropped anywhere within 100 miles of home, find his way back. He had what we call spatial sovereignty. His mind held a map of his own region, his own state, his own country. He knew where he was in the larger world. The modern boy and the modern man, increasingly, does not have this. He has Google Maps. And when Google Maps fails, he is lost in his own city. We have outsourced the most ancient cognitive task humans have, knowing where you are, to a corporation that tracks every step we take. The 1958 boy paid for his map at the gas station, $2, and the gas station did not know where he went with it. That difference is bigger than it sounds. Number 11, the fish. Hook, line, bobber, worm. A cane pole if he was poor, a Zebco rod if he was lucky, $6 at the Sears. He sat on a bank for 2 hours, caught a bluegill or a crappie, and brought it home. Cleaned it himself, scaled it on a newspaper on the back step, gutted it, cut off the head, took it inside, dipped it in cornmeal, and fried it in a cast iron skillet with bacon grease. He had touched the entire food chain by age 10. From the worm to the hook to the fish to the knife to the skillet to the plate to his own mouth. He understood in his hands and his stomach where food actually came from. The modern boy thinks food comes from delivery apps. He has never once in his entire life eaten an animal whose face he saw before he ate it. That sounds extreme. It is extreme. It is the most disconnected from the food chain that humans have ever been. And it produces a strange, hollow, abstracted kind of person who has never quite touched the actual world. 5 skills in, notice something. Every one of them was a skill that connected the boy to the physical world. Knots to rope, edge to steel, fire to wood, map to ground, hook to fish. He was being trained, without anyone calling it training, to inhabit reality. The modern boy is being trained all day to inhabit screens. The cost of that swap is the man he becomes. 10 more coming. Number 10, the bike. A 1958 boy got his first bike around age 7, a Schwinn or a Huffy, often used and costing $50. By age 10, he could ride it anywhere within a 5-mile radius of his house, alone or with friends, without a helmet, without a phone, and without an adult knowing exactly where he was at any given moment. He had what is now legally forbidden in many American counties, unsupervised mobility. He could pedal to the swimming hole, to the candy store, to his friend's house, to the library, to the creek, to the railroad tracks, and figure it all out himself. got a flat tire 2 miles from home, he walked the bike home, or he fixed it. Got lost? He asked an adult. Got in a fight? He settled it. Got hurt? He came home with the scrape and the lesson. The modern American child, by law and by custom, cannot do this. They cannot walk to school alone in many states until age 14. They cannot be unsupervised in a public park. The child protection regime, well-intentioned but absolute, has outlawed the childhood the 1958 boy lived as a matter of course. And the cost of that loss is a generation of boys who reach age 18, having never solved a problem more than 3 feet from an adult. Number 9, the tire. On the bike, pull the tire off the rim, find the puncture in the tube by listening for the hiss or running it through a basin of water, patch it with a patch kit, remount the tire and pump it up. On the car, jack it up, loosen the lug nuts, swap the spare, lower the jack, tighten the lugs in a star pattern, and put the bad tire in the trunk. A 1958 boy could do the bike tire by age 10 and the car tire by age 14, both alone in 20 minutes. The modern man, grown, college educated, professionally employed, sits on the shoulder of the highway in the rain and waits 2 hours for roadside assistance because he has never changed a tire in his life. The skill takes 20 minutes to learn. He has never been taught it because no one assumed he needed to know it, and the assumption produced the man. There is a deep dignity in the simple mechanical competence of changing your own tire when you are on your own in the rain. The modern man has been deprived of that dignity by his own father, who was deprived of it by his father somewhere around 1990. Number 8, the fight. A boy in 1958 got in 3 or 4 real fist fights between the ages of 8 and 14. Schoolyard fights, neighborhood fights, brother fights. They were not catastrophes. They were the way boys had always learned since the beginning of recorded time, what it felt like to hit someone and what it felt like to be hit. After the fight, they shook hands, usually, or they did not, and it took a week. Either way, something had been processed in their nervous systems that no other experience could process. They learned that they could survive being hit. They learned that they could hurt someone if they chose to. They learned the difference deep in their bodies between anger and violence. The modern boy, in many places, will go through his entire childhood without ever being in a physical fight. School policy forbids it. His parents forbid it. The result is a young adult man who has no calibrated relationship to physical aggression and who therefore either avoids all conflict, like death itself, or escalates verbal conflict catastrophically because he has never tested it physically. We removed schoolyard fights to protect boys. Instead, we produced boys who have no idea what they are capable of in either direction. It was not a trade in the boys' favor. Number 7, the first job. A 1958 boy mowed Mr. Henderson's lawn for 50 cents at age 9. He shoveled the Murphy's driveway in winter for 25 cents. He delivered the Saturday Evening Post on a paper route by 12. He bagged groceries at the A&P by 14. He had earned his own money by age 10, real folding money, his own to keep. And he had learned the deepest lesson of work in the process, that an hour of his time was worth something to someone else, and that he could trade it for what he wanted. The modern American boy cannot legally work in most jurisdictions until he is 14. Most do not work until they are 17 or 18. Many do not work until they finish college. they reach adulthood having never traded an hour of their own time for money. And so they have no calibration for what work is worth, what money is for, or how the two relate. The 1958 paper route taught him in 3 months what a four-year economics degree fails to teach the modern young man. Time and money are interchangeable, and your dignity comes from controlling the exchange. Number 6, the boredom. A 1958 boy could sit on a porch on a Sunday afternoon with nothing to do for 4 hours and not need anything. He would watch ants, he would whittle a stick, he would lie on his back and stare at clouds. He would think about a girl he liked, or a problem at school, or what he wanted to be when he grew up. He could be alone with his own mind for a long time. This is the skill we have most catastrophically destroyed. The modern boy cannot be alone with himself for 10 minutes without a screen. His phone is in his hand by age 9. He has never in his entire life been bored long enough to encounter himself. And boredom is where character is built, in the slow internal hours where a boy figures out who he is, what he wants, what he believes. We have filled every one of those hours with content. The result is a young man who, at 21, has never had a single original thought because he has never had a single quiet hour in which to have one. The single greatest thing you can do for a boy is take his phone away and give him an afternoon with nothing to do. The 1958 boy was given that afternoon by default. The modern boy has to be rescued back into it deliberately. 5 to go. The last 5 are the skills that, if you have a boy in your life, you would hand him before anything else. Stay with me. Number 5, the voice. A 1958 boy had memorized at least one poem by the time he was 12. Paul Revere's Ride, or Casey at the Bat, or the 23rd Psalm, or the Cremation of Sam McGee. He had stood at the front of the classroom and recited it from memory, out loud, with feeling. His teacher had drilled him on it for weeks. He learned what no amount of silent reading can teach a boy. That language has a sound, a rhythm, a weight, and that the human voice is itself an instrument. The modern boy never memorizes anything. Schools stopped requiring recitation around 1985. And so an entire generation of American men cannot quote a single poem, a single passage of scripture, a single Shakespeare line, a single Lincoln speech. Their inner lives have no soundtrack but their own opinions. The 1958 boy could be alone in a foxhole, in a hospital bed, in a prison cell, and he had Tennyson and the Psalms running through his head to keep him company. That is real wealth. It cannot be bought. It can only be memorized at 12. Number 4, the manners. A boy in 1958 called every adult sir or ma'am. Mr. Henderson, not Bob, Mrs. Murphy, not Linda. He answered questions with yes, sir, no, ma'am. He stood when an adult entered the room. He removed his hat indoors. He shook hands when introduced. He looked the adult in the eye. This was not subservience. It was the opposite. It was a boy publicly demonstrating that he understood the basic ladder of human respect. That age and experience and responsibility were worth more than youth and freshness, and that he was willing to perform the small daily rituals that acknowledged that ladder. The modern boy calls everyone by their first name, slouches when introduced, mumbles, looks at his phone instead of the adult's face. He has not been taught that respect for elders is a thing he gives, not a thing they earn. And the cost of that loss is enormous. A boy who cannot defer to an older man cannot learn from an older man. And a boy who cannot learn from older men ends up raised by his own age cohort, which is to say, raised by other children. That is most of what is wrong with the young American man today. Number three, the disappointment. A boy in 1958 struck out in the bottom of the ninth, got cut from the team, got rejected by the girl, got beaten in the fight, got an F on the test. He cried sometimes, he was sad, he was disappointed, and then by the next day, he had moved on. He had been taught by everyone in his life that disappointment is not a catastrophe, that losing a thing is normal and survivable, that the world owes him nothing, that he should be grateful for what he has and quiet about what he does not. The modern boy is increasingly unable to take a no. Every disappointment is a trauma. Every loss is an injustice. Every rejection is a wound that requires processing. And we have taught him this. We have rebuilt the entire emotional architecture of childhood to protect him from disappointment, with the result that he is shattered by it whenever it arrives. The 1958 boy was resilient at 12. The modern boy is fragile at 25. Both were raised on purpose. We just changed which one we were raising for. Number two, the truth. A 1958 boy, when he had done wrong, broken the window, lied about where he had been, stolen the candy from the drugstore, was eventually brought before his father. And the father did not usually yell. He just asked the question. And the boy, looking at the floor, then looking up, told him the truth, took the punishment, did the apology, moved on. The hardest skill of his entire childhood was this one, telling the man he loved that he had let him down while looking him in the eye. Most adult moral failure is just the adult version of a boy who never learned to do this. A man who cannot admit a mistake to his wife, to his boss, to his children, is a man who never had to admit one to his father. The modern boy is often raised in a household where there is no clear authority figure to confess to, where the father is absent or a peer or terrified of conflict. And so the boy never builds the muscle of moral confession. It atrophies. And by 35, he is the kind of man who lies, deflects, gaslights, and projects. Because the alternative, looking another adult in the eye and saying I was wrong, has been left undeveloped since he was 9. The 1958 boy built that muscle every time he broke a window. And number one, the skill all the other 14 were building toward. By age 12, a boy in 1958 could be left alone, really alone, with his younger siblings in the house for a whole evening, at a neighbor's farm for a week in the summer, on a fishing trip with his grandfather, at a relative's funeral 2 states away. And the adults in his life would not worry because they had built him to be trustworthy. That was the whole point of the previous 14 skills. Each one was a deposit in the bank of trust. The knots, the fire, the fight, the work, the truth. Every one of them was another piece of evidence presented to the adult world that this boy could be given his own life to handle and would not break it. The modern American boy, in many cases, cannot be trusted alone at age 22. He cannot be sent to college without a daily phone call to mom. He cannot manage his own finances. He cannot navigate his own conflicts. He has not been built for solo flight because every previous skill that built it was taken away from him in the name of safety. Safety is the right of a child. Trustworthiness is the inheritance of a boy. Childhood in 1958 produced real risk because it permitted real knives, real fires, real fights, real water, real consequences. And out the other end of that childhood came a young man you could send to Korea or to college or to start a business or to marry your daughter, and he would not break in your hands. That is the boy we used to produce. That is the boy we have stopped producing. And the cost of stopping is the entire crisis of young manhood we are now living through. If you have a boy in your life, son, grandson, nephew, neighbor, give him a knife and a stick and 3 hours alone in the backyard. That's where it starts again, or where it doesn't. The choice is yours, and it's a real one. 15 skills. Not one of them required a class, a coach, a credential, or a credit card. Every one of them was learned in the ordinary course of an American boyhood for free, with the only adult supervision being occasional. A father who showed it once, a grandfather who watched at a distance, a neighbor who let it happen on his back 40. The 1958 boys are now in their 70s and 80s. They are the last generation of American men who were raised this way. Watch them. They are quieter than us and more competent and more at peace and more ready for hardship and more useful to the people around them. They knew what we forgot, and we forgot it on purpose in the name of safety, and we are living with the bill. Somewhere right now, on a creek bank behind a quiet house, a boy sits cross-legged on a flat rock with a pocket knife and a green willow stick. His shirt is muddy, his shoes are wet. Nobody knows exactly where he is. And without a single word, he is becoming the kind of man his country is going to need. Subscribe for more and tell me down below which skill your own father taught you.